Well, have I got something special for you as we approach Christmas? Going to look today at the prophetic traditions of Christmas. That sounds kind of weird to me. What do you mean by them? Well, you know, Jesus had this to say. He said in Matthew 13:52, "Therefore, every scribe who is instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like a man who's a householder who brings out treasures, new and old." You know, a lot of our traditions are actually treasures. I know there's some people around that feel like our traditions, some of the stuff that we do at Christmas time, are ungodly or came from pagan roots and all this kind of stuff. But I want to suggest to you, amazing as it seems, that our celebration of Christmas may actually keep the nation from slipping into darkness. Yeah, that's right. George Otis Jr. wrote a book called Twilight Labyrinth, and that's about the cultures around the world and how seasonal festivals can reinforce the light or the darkness. Can it be possible that our traditions, the way we celebrate Christmas in the community, I mean everybody, I don't just mean particularly Christians in our narrow part of the observance of Christ, but all the stuff we do, from the lights to Santa and all that, could it be that there's something prophetic in what we're doing? Could it be that all of these things that we're up to actually point to God, point to Christ, and we don't even know it? Maybe there's more to some of this stuff than meets the eye. So what I want to do is I want to go over seven of our traditions that we have at Christmas time and just talk a bit about them and talk about how they actually point to God and Christ. First one, the most obvious one, maybe the most early one in the season that's happening all over our community right now, is Christmas lights. Christmas lights. Isn't it great just to light everything up and put the strings of light there on our house? And here in the studio, you got some up in the mall and all this kind of stuff. And we think, oh, well, that's, you know, the secularists want to say, oh, it's our winter holiday display. Yeah, right. Nobody believes that. And, you know, you go into some stores and they're saying, you know, happy winter holiday or whatever. Funny statement. Nobody believes that stuff. Christmas lights. Well, think about it for a minute. Jesus is the light of the world. John chapter 1, in fact, talks about the birth of Christ. And interestingly, what he says is the light that lights up every man was coming into the world. Let me just look that up here while I'm thinking about it, because, boy, I think this is fascinating. This is not something I'd prep, but let's look at it here. It says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. He was with God and was God. He was in the beginning with God. He created everything that there is. This is talking about Jesus, the He, the Word. Nothing exists that He didn't make, and life itself was in Him, and this life gives light to everyone. Now we're not talking about light bulb, we're talking about real light. The light shines in the darkness can never extinguish it, John chapter 1 says. Isn't that fascinating? God sent John the Baptist to tell everyone about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light, he was only a witness to the light, pointing to Jesus, right? But the one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And though the world was made through him, the world didn't recognize him when he came. Jesus, the light of the world, the true light. That's what Christmas lights are all about. What a fantastic thought. Whenever you're looking at the Christmas lights in the trees or in the houses or Christmas tree, think of this. They're symbolizing, they're prophetically pointing every light bulb that's lit up for Christmas, every light that's shining in Campbell River this Christmas time is a prophetic declaration that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Wow. No, it's not some pagan tradition. I don't care where somebody may have got the idea or anything. Jesus is the light of the world. Wow. Wow. But what about Christmas trees? There's another practice that we have. And yes, I know some Christians go off about the pagan God thing. And, you know, there are cultures, yes, that worship trees. You know, for instance, I go over into India and someplace, well, every place I go, you will see a tree god. What's a tree god? Well, tree god is just some tree. It's like any other tree, except somebody had some kind of a supernatural encounter at that tree. Probably a demon of some kind. Something happened at the tree. So, guess what? They make the tree into an idol, a god. They come and decorate it. They come and paint it. They put a fence around it. They put decorations up in the tree. They do all kinds of things because they're worshiping the tree and the spirit that's in the tree. Well, yeah, I know that's the roots of some ideas of the tree, but that's not what we're doing with Christmas trees. What are Christmas trees? And besides that, I've never met anyone who is worshiping a tree. Are you worshiping the tree at Christmas because you got a Christmas tree? Are you thinking there's some kind of spirit in the tree that's going to help you? No. So forget that whole idea of the pagan tree. Instead, let's look at something different. It's a prophetic statement about the tree of life. It's a prophetic statement about Jesus, who was crucified, hung on the tree. It's a prophetic statement about us Gentiles being grafted into the tree of Israel, and we're not of the people of God. The tree, the idea of the tree, is huge at Christmas. Just a little review on that. When you look at the story of Adam and Eve and creation, God put Adam and later Eve in this garden that he created. And the garden's full of trees and tilling, and you know, but there's lots of fruit and all this kind of stuff. But there were two trees. One tree was the tree of life, and the other tree was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam was told, go and eat from the tree of life. Why? Because the tree of life is what is giving eternal life. And then the other tree of the knowledge of good and evil, so you can be God for yourself, was the tree the Lord said, don't touch it. Well, of course, we know the story that Satan deceived Adam or Eve, and then Adam followed. And they ate from that. And then they're put out of the garden. What were they barred from the garden? Well, it says that they were prevented from going lest they would eat of the tree of life and live forever in that state of separation from God. So we have no tree of life anymore. But Jesus came to restore that. Did you know that? In fact, what we're told is on Christ's return, described in the book of Revelation, that there will be restored the tree of life. This is just awesome. And let me see if I can find that for you, because it's such a huge thing. And the tree of life, it says, bears fruit all year. And the leaves of these trees are for the up and down the river are for the healing of the nations. And there's a restoration of what was lost. The tree of life is restored. It's just amazing. So when you're thinking of a Christmas tree, when we put up a Christmas tree, when we see a Christmas tree, remember, it is a prophetic statement of what Jesus does in restoring to us life. The tree of life. When you're in Christ, you're receiving life. Here it is, Revelation 22. The angel showed me a pure river with the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb down the street. And on each side of the river grew the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, a fresh crop for each month. The leaves were used for medicine to heal the nations. This tree of life, wow! And of course, if you watch some movies lately, you'll know this tree of life idea is really alive and vibrant in our culture. Christmas tree, the prophetic statement of Jesus Christ and his work restoring our access to the tree of life. Every time someone sets up that without realizing it, every time we see a Christmas tree, whether we realize it or not, we are experiencing a prophetic statement of God's restoration of the tree of life. Wow, isn't that awesome? Okay, prophetic Christmas tradition number three. And this is pretty cool. Christmas carols. Wow, it's remarkable when you think about it, isn't it? Christmas carols? Yeah, we're playing Christmas music all December long. But you know what? Christmas music, Christmas songs are playing all over the place. In the mall here, they're playing. And some of them, yeah, they're let it snow, you know, all that kind of stuff, kind of secular, but a lot of them are awesome. We hear in the stores, in the businesses, on the radio, prophetic declarations of the good things of God. Christ the Savior is born. We may sing Christmas carols, prophetic declarations of what God has done. No more let sin and sorrow rule or thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessing flow far as the curse is found. This is a prophetic declaration every time you're singing that Christmas carol. A declaration to the earth. How many thousand people in Campbell River are going to hear the gospel and the good news this December when they hear or sing a Christmas carol, even if they don't know Christ already, even if they're just hearing it while they're shopping in some store, even if they turn on the radio and it gets played? Of course, we're doing it 24/7 here on our radio station, but wow, man, prophetic tradition of Christmas. Well, I've got more of them, but I'm going to leave them till tomorrow. But let me just say this in conclusion. The God can open our eyes to see what's the real meaning behind the traditions. And there's a bunch of them, but there's some really good ones. And what's the real meaning? We looked at three this morning, and I've got four more we'll do tomorrow. What's the real meaning behind the traditions? What's the prophetic statement behind our traditions, which we sometimes think are just secular? They just stick them out in the street. Prophetic statement behind Christmas lights? Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Prophetic statement behind the Christmas tree? The restoration of the tree of life. And you even bring it into your home. I believe life is in Christ alone and restores our access to that tree of life that Adam lost. Evergreen. His life, you know. Yeah, David said it. You can ever be green. Green and ripe in your old age. Evergreen. Third prophetic tradition, Christmas carols. Our declaration, our reciting the good things of God, our singing, our hearing, our listening, our proclaiming in Campbell River the remarkable good things of the Lord. And, you know, even if it doesn't mention Christ, those wonderful old songs, Bing Crosby and all that, White Christmas, what are they singing and celebrating? They were all around the season. The joy of the Lord is our strength. There you go. Three, to start us off, prophetic traditions of Christmas. We'll pick it up tomorrow with some more.